Well, like I said, the sermon in your bulletin, I'm not going to be giving today. I was kind of disappointed about that because I was all ready to go. I had a 9-page outline on Stephen's sermon, and I was already convinced that I was probably going to have to break it up into 2 Sundays. But God had different plans, and so let's pray, and then I'll share a little bit about how I came to this place. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. Lord, worship is more than just singing songs. It's more than just coming together in a church building. Lord, it's a way of life. And so, Lord, as we continue our worship through the hearing of your word, may you transform our hearts. May you give us things to apply to our lives that when we leave this place, we can live lives of worship, lives that point to you. And you get all the credit, all the praise, and all the glory, because without you, it's not possible. In Jesus' name, amen. So I said Wednesday afternoon we left. The last thing I did here before I left on Wednesday was I had a meeting with Chris, which we decided to do once a week. And we decided that we're going to go through the book, The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. Now, you may or may not be familiar with that book. I would encourage you to read it if you've never read it. It's just a great book. Brennan Manning, we have it in our library. Brennan Manning is actually a Catholic. Well, he was. He passed away recently. He's a Catholic priest. He came to know the Lord, and then after coming to know the Lord, became an alcoholic, which is kind of backwards, but it happens. And through his brokenness, through his story, through his experiences, journeying through the Christian life the best way he knew how, he has shared just some insights that he's gained. He became an alcoholic because he started out his Christian journey trying to be a performance-based Christian, trying to walk the line to do the things that were expected of him, not just by the pastors and preachers that he heard, but by, you know, as a minister, his congregation expected things of him. Culture, society expected him to be a certain way, to act a certain way, to do certain things. And this overwhelming sense of expectation was just too heavy, and so he found his escape through drinking. I'm sure you've read many, many instances of pastors getting involved in one sin or another. There was a big scandal several years ago of a pastor of a large church in Colorado getting involved in drugs and sexual immorality. And you know, these stories are rampant in our society, and probably the reason that we get to hear about the pastors is because, well, they're the public figure in the church. But the reality is a lot of Christians struggle with these things because the expectations that we put on ourselves and the expectations that culture puts on us to be Christian sometimes are overwhelming and they're too much. And so that's how my journey started. I had that meeting with Chris. I went home, we loaded up the car, and we left. And so the whole drive there, I'm playing through our conversation and through the things that we read. And then we arrive in Kansas, and the next day I got to go have coffee with Sammy Sanders, who was here not that long ago. They're still raising support, by the way, and if you find it in your heart to help support their ministry to Mexico, there's still some support letters down there, but they're about 50%. And so I met with Sammy and Suresh, and we had a conversation, and I kind of shared. He said, what have you been preaching on lately? And I said, well, I'm going through Acts, and so I shared the sermon that I gave last week on wearing masks and about being a hypocrite. And actually, a word that I used that I meant to use last Sunday and for some reason didn't, but I said the word that comes to mind is counterfeit Christianity. And as I'm talking, I'm starting to see the correlation between that message and the idea that Brennan Manning draws out in his book and kind of where God has been pointing things out in my life, trying to be something that we're not, trying to pretend like we've got it all together when we don't, trying to work so hard to keep that shiny outside surface that the inside is going unchanged. And as a matter of fact, it's getting more and more corrupt. And so that's the conversation I had with him. While we were having coffee, another friend of mine who had no idea I was in town comes into the coffee shop. He's a pastor of a Baptist church in Hutchinson. And so he sees me and he comes, and Sammy has to leave, and so he sits down, and for the next hour and a half I have a conversation with him. Very, very similar topics. He's telling me some of the things he's going through in his church and really having a struggle there kind of the same idea. People are so concerned about looking Christian that the transformation process just isn't happening. And so I was able to encourage him, and he's having some issues himself. Without going into too much detail, his struggle is pride. He wants recognition for the things that he does. And one of the stories that he told me was he was in line to pay his electric bill, and a young man in front of him could only afford to pay enough just to keep the lights on until Friday. And he was supposed to have to come back in Friday to pay the rest of his bill or his lights were going to be shut off. And my friend says, and I knew that I was going to help this guy. He said, and I could do it one of two ways. I could go up there right now, so he knew that it was me that paid that bill, or I could wait until he was gone and take care of it, and he would never know who it was. And he said, I knew the right thing was to wait, and so I did. But after I paid, on my way out to the car, I was so frustrated that that guy would never know who it was that helped him. He said, and I got home, and I asked my wife, why am I like this? Why do I want to be recognized for the things that I do? And this is a frustration that he's been having. And so I just shared a passage of scripture with him that I want to share with you this morning, and this is kind of where the motivation for what God wants me to share comes from today. So it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and I'll start a little bit earlier so you can kind of get an idea of what's going on. This is Paul's vision and his thorn. Let's see, I'll just start in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 9. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man are not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And as I read that, I remembered the conversation that Chris and I had. And at the end of the first chapter in Manning's book, he talks about a man who prayed to God, and he said, God, I want grace to never offend you again. And God kind of chuckles and says, that's what everybody asks for. He said, if I granted that request to everyone, who would I have left to forgive? And so I shared that story with Tyler, and he kind of just sat there and nodded his head and you could tell that he wasn't completely satisfied with that answer, but he understood what I was getting at, that the Christian life is a journey, that we don't pray a prayer and snap our fingers and become all that God expects us to be. For a little while, God's grace has to cover the multitude of who we are, warts and all. And so how does that translate from last week and the masks? It's okay to take off the mask. It's okay to bear ourselves to one another because we all have scars, we all have warts. None of us have arrived. None of us are there yet. And so as I started to think through that process, then I started to have conversations with my father-in-law, who's also a pastor. I have a lot of pastors in my life. And he's talking to me about where he's been at with the Lord lately. He says, for about the last 6 or 8 months, I've really been overwhelmed with God's grace. And he says, I think that a lot of times the church gets it backwards. We mix it up. And again, he starts to talk about this performance-based Christianity that a lot of us tend to fall into. We say we're Christians, we go to church, and so we have to do X, Y, and Z to make sure everyone around us knows that we've got it together. And so I want to read another verse that came to mind as this conversation was happening. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. And the headline for this is Rules for Holy Living. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For you died, and now your life is hidden with Christ And that had a meaning to me already, and I understood that it meant that we can come to God who we are because His grace covers the ugliness. You know, I talked about how I'd never be 6'1", and how that, you know, no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be 6'1". No matter how hard we try, we're never going to be like Jesus. Not on this earth, not in this life. We will always fall short. But grace is what fills that gap. Grace is what gives us the credibility to enter into heaven, to have eternal life. Nothing that you or I can do can earn that. No matter how good we are, no matter how much money we give, no matter how many good things that we do or nice things that we say, we will never earn the right to enter into heaven on our own. It's only through the grace of God that that's possible. Now, when we drive to Kansas, we listen to a lot of Christian radio. We try to find whichever radio station is local, and we kind of do that the whole way there and the whole way back. And I heard the song by the David Crowder Band, Oh How He Loves Us, many, many, many times over the 8 hours there and the 8 hours back. But it wasn't until last night about 12:45, 1 o'clock in the morning, as Jenilee's driving and I'm trying to sleep because I knew I had to get up here and talk this morning, that song comes on and I started to kind of to listen to the words. And he talks about how if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And I started to think about that. If grace were all the oceans in the world, how big would we be? And I thought, probably about as big as a grain of sand. And so my illustration this morning, I have a grain of sand. And I'm going to put it on my Bible here. One grain of sand. I picked it up out of the entryway to the new garage out there. I can see that, but probably none of you can, because it's pretty small. Something else I did this morning that you'd be proud of me for is I came over to the church and I did some math. I'm out of practice a little bit, so I had to Google a lot of this. I wanted to know how many grains of sand would fit into one cup. And so I Googled that. Turns out a group of people actually counted. Whether they got paid or not, I'm not sure. But they counted. They got a cup of sand and they poured it out, and about 12 of them sat there and counted each individual grain of sand. And I'm rounding up. They came to about 4 million grains of sand in one cup. The current population of the United States of America is 313 million people. So that would be 104 cups of sand to represent every person in the United States, or 6.5 gallons. So if I had 7 milk jugs here, 6 full ones and a half of one, all that sand would represent every person in the United States. But I didn't stop there. Then I Googled, what's the population of the world? Right now it's about 7 billion people. 2,333 cups of sand, roughly 145 gallons. Which if you're familiar with how big a 55-gallon barrel is, that would be about 2.6 of those 55-gallon drums full of sand. Which sounds like a lot, but they dumped about 3 tons of sand out there just to get the approach to the garage, which is a lot more than 145 gallons. And so then I thought, okay, we're sand. God's grace is the ocean. So how big is the ocean? It's the number 344 followed by 18 zeros. That's how many gallons of water are in all of the oceans. That's a lot. So we've got 145 gallons worth of people, and 345 followed by 18 zeros gallons worth of grace. And so this morning as I was writing this down, I said, there's the title. His grace is enough. His grace is enough. It's not about becoming who we think God wants us to be and then He'll love us. It's God already loves us. And as a response to that love, we should desire to become the people He wants us to be. It's a response. When I think about ministry, when I think about people that create, whether they write music or they paint, all of that is a response to what is happening in their life. So to become the people that God wants us to be, all we have to do is respond. When somebody understands creation, when they understand the magnitude of who God is and they paint a portrait, isn't that beautiful? When they understand their relationship with Jesus and how there's nothing they can do to earn that, but that it's just there, available to them. And then they write a song, or they write a poem, or they preach a sermon, or they visit someone and share that truth with them. That's beautiful. So it's okay to take off our masks. It's okay to be ugly because God's grace covers that ugliness and we become beautiful, not just to God, but to other people. We try too hard. It's not about trying harder. It's about letting God do it on our behalf. I want to share one last verse with you. It's from Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says, we who are Jews by birth, and when I say Jews, that was the people that recognized Jesus Christ as their Savior back then. So you could substitute that. We who are Christians by birth, we who are Christians by our understanding of the truth of the gospel, and not sinners, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Again, it's not about rules that we follow. Now, the cool thing I found out about this verse, you'll be proud of me, I had a lot of time, even though I just got back at 2 in the morning. I did some research on this. When it says that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus, some of the older manuscripts actually say, by the faith of Jesus. Because sometimes our faith isn't enough, is it? And it's just like that prayer that Paul prays that I mentioned earlier. We believe, but we need help with our unbelief. There are times when we struggle. I just shared last Sunday, I'm coming out of a few weeks of just being down. And it wasn't until this weekend that I realized what it was that was getting me so down. It was because I was trying to perform. I was trying to be who everyone expected me to be instead of just being a child of God. Instead of just ministering out of who I am and where I'm at right now, I was trying to go above and beyond that. And after coming out of this weekend and after sharing those experiences and after living out that truth with people that I'm comfortable with and people that I can just kind of be who I am with, I'm refreshed. I'm renewed. I don't know if you can tell, but I feel good today. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Because I'm responding to my relationship with God. God doesn't wait for me to get here before he says, good. He says, I love you right where you are. I'm going to meet you right where you are. And I want you to be careful because this is not a license to sin. This is not a license to do whatever we want to do. This is a beautiful realization that we can respond to that grace, to that love. That the Christian life is about a response, not about an earning or an expectation. That ministry happens out of brokenness, not out of having it all together. And I remember sharing a quote with you, and maybe some of you weren't here, and maybe you don't remember the quote, but it's a quote on brokenness. And being broken isn't about being broken into a million pieces so that we're useless. It's about being broken open so that the people that God created us to be can be poured out to those around us. So that out of our vulnerability, out of our experiences, out of the love that God has for us, we can minister to people around us and we can share that love with them. That's probably why people like Brennan Manning speak so loudly to us, because we can relate to them. He's not perfect and he's not trying to hide it. He's a priest and he had issues. I'm a pastor. I've got issues. We call ourselves Christians. We have issues. But the reality is God still loves us. Not still loves us, just plain loves us. Not in spite of our issues, but just because we're his creation. And then the last thing that I remember last night before finally falling asleep, about 2:30 in the morning, was last spring, Joe shared a study with us in his Wednesday night group. And I don't remember the name of the pastor that spoke in those videos, but he said, all of the love and all of the grace that you will ever need, you have right now. Nothing you do will make that less. Nothing you do will make that more. You have it all right now. You're a grain of sand floating around in, what was that number again? 344 with 18 zeros, gallons of water. You're a grain of sand in that much water. It never gets less, it never gets more. You have the fullness of God's grace and love right where you sit this morning. And then his question was, how will you respond? What do you do with that? Do you sit here and think, okay, I'm good? I think if you do, you don't really understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning. How do you respond? Where do you go next? What do you do with that? And I think once we start to figure that out and we start to take steps of faith, the realization of that grace comes to our minds and into our hearts and into our lives. And when we start to realize that it's not about what I do or don't do, but it's about how I respond to God's love, that's when abundant life starts to happen. That's when transformation starts to happen. That's when God finally grabs a hold of our hearts and says, you're starting to get it. Let me show you some more cool stuff. So that's where God took me this weekend. And that's where I want to take you. That's where I want us to go together. To stop pretending like we are something that we aren't and just be who we are and respond to the fullness of God's grace and love that is available to us always. It's here. It's where you work. It's where you sleep. It's with the people that you interact with. When you're alone, when you're in public. It's everywhere. We're drowning in God's grace. How will you respond? Let's pray. Father, I think I can speak for all of us when I say that we're overwhelmed this morning by your love. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to do something or say something or be something in order for you to love us, but that you meet us right where we are. And as the old saying goes, you love us too much to leave us there. So Lord, I pray that we would take time this week to just meditate on the realization that your grace surrounds us, permeates our life. That whether we realize it or not, you are at work in every moment of our waking lives. And when we sleep, Lord, you bless us with your presence. Lord, help us to respond. Lord, to speak and act out of that realization that your grace is offered to us freely. To be motivated by your love. Not to try to earn, but to desire to be the people that you want us to be because of your love and your grace. And as we see the transformation start to take place, Lord, and as ministry starts to happen in our lives, and as we start to see fruit, Lord, help us not to try to take credit for it, but to just point back to you and say, all of this is possible because I have a relationship with a God who loved me where I was and loves me where I am. We ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.